This is episode 4 in our reading of the Rihla of Ibn Jubayr, specifically his description of Mecca, and then also in the build-up to his description of the month of Ramadan in Mecca in the year 1183. So today we're actually going to be getting into something quite specific about an actual event that happened in Mecca, you know, almost 1,000 years ago. So if that's your kind of thing, this will be a really good episode for you, so let's get into it. So just before we get into the whole Arabic text, I just want to take a second to quickly remind you that the books for the Arabic in 60 Steps program are running out. As I'm recording this right now, we have about 38 books in stock, so there will only be 38 people who will ever be allowed into the Arabic in 60 Steps program again. So if you're a person who's been thinking about joining the program but hasn't got around to it, pull your socks up, inshallah, and get yourself in the program. So what that'll mean for you, inshallah, is having lifetime access to the program, having the workbook sent to you in the post, having a WhatsApp number that goes directly to me for any support that you may need, and all the other benefits that come with being a student on the Arabic in 60 Steps program. So for 38 or so of you, see you on the inside. This is the 6th episode in this whole series on the Rihla of Ibn Jubayr, but it is the 4th episode where we've been reading the Arabic of the text. So where we are now is we are in page 98, and we are reading chapter or section 22, and the title of this section is Umratul Akama. So the Umrah, as we've mentioned, is the minor pilgrimage, we might say, to Mecca. And Al-Akama is an important bit of vocabulary for this text. This is the Umrah of Al-Akama. What is an Akama? Ibn Jubayr actually puts a description of what an Akama is in here, or it may be, I think it's actually an edition of Kamil Kilani, actually one of his edits. But he says that it means a tell. A tell is a hill, plural of which is tulul or tilal. I think there's a few actually plurals of tell, meaning a hill. But a akama is actually more like a mound. Like it's kind of, it can just be like a pile of mud that's big enough for you to walk up and stuff like that. It doesn't necessarily have to be big enough to be a hill. I know there are definitions of like something that's big enough to be a mountain versus a hill, but I'm not sure what takes something from an akama to a tell to a jebel in the Arabic language. I'm not sure what the categories of that are. But in any case, it's the umrah of the mound. What mound in particular, you may be asking. So let me read the whole passage, inshallah. And as this is a particularly long one, I will read through the first paragraph of it all the way down to إِلَى تِلْكَ الْأَكَمَ. And then we'll do another section. In the same video, though, we'll do another section where I'll read the last few lines. So let's go for it. So وَفِي لَيْلَةِ الثُّلَثَاءِ السَّابِعِ وَالْعِشْرُونَ مِنْهُ أَعْنِي مِنْ رَجَّبْ ظهر لأهل مكة أيضا احتفال عظيم في خروجي إلى عمرتي لم يقصر عن الاحتفال الأول فانجفل الجميع انصرفوا إليها تلك الليلة رجالا ونساء على الصفات والهيئات المتقدمة الذكر فكانت مع صبيحتها عجبا في الاحتفال وحسن المنظر وهذه العمرة يسمونها عمرة الأكمة لأنها يحرمون فيها من أكمة أو تل أمام مسجد عائشة رضي الله عنها على مسافة قريبة والأصل في هذه العمرة الأكامية عندهم أن عبد الله بن زبير ابن الزبير لما فرغ من بناء الكعبة المقدسة خرج ماشيا حافيا معتمرا وأهل مكة معه فانتهى إلى تلك الأكمة. So we have Ibn Jubayr, it's not just Kamil Kilani's edition. Ibn Jubayr likes to begin these paragraphs with the date and the time and the place where this thing happened. وفي ليلة الثلاثاء, and in the night of الثلاثاء, الثلاثاء meaning the day of the week, is الثلاثاء is the what is it? It must be the Tuesday, right? Yes, Tuesday. And on the Tuesday night, السابع والعشرين. So السابع والعشرين means the 27th, right? السابع meaning the 7th, and العشرين meaning the 20, right? So meaning the 27th. Minhu, okay, what does he mean by who? From it, right? What does he mean by who? And he actually explains here, he says, A'ni min Rajab. A'ni means I mean. Yes, A'ni means I mean. Min Rajab. So on the night of the 27th of Rajab is what he's saying. And this would be the year, this would be, he's talking about the year of Rajab, So what does that line up to? Did we say 579 or something? If I've got the dates right in my head. Of the Hijri period. It makes sense to use the Hijri months with... yeah, if he said Rajab, we should stick with the Hijri years, right? If he's used the Hijri months. Zahara li ahli Mecca. Zahara is a verb meaning to like to come out or to appear. It appeared to the people of Mecca. Ahli Mecca ta. Why isn't it ahli Meccatin? Yeah, if this is an adafa, if this is the people of Mecca, if usually it would be ahlul Madinati, for example, the people of the city. But this is ahli Mecca ta. Even though Mekkata is a mudaf ilay. Well, the reason is that Mekkata is mamnu' min al-sarf. It can't take tanween. Why is that? Some students have come to me in the past and said, well, Mecca is not a foreign word. If any word is surely an Arabic word, surely Mecca is it. It's not because it's not Arab. There are many names which are entirely Arab, but they are mamnu' min al-sarf. So what reason could there be? It's that it's feminine. Is the reason. The same rule applies for feminine names that are Arab names, like a name that we're going to see in this text, Aisha. Aisha ta or Aisha tu is mamnu' min al-sarf. It's a feminine name, but no one's going to tell me that Aisha tu, Khadija tu, Fatima tu are non-Arab names, right? Good. It's just that they're mamnu' min al-sarf because they're females, women's names. Aydan, also. Aydan is very useful. Just means also. Ihtifalun azimun. A great celebration. So ihtifal, there is a form 8 verb, ihtafala, right? Yahtafilu in the present tense, meaning to celebrate. And the word hafla means a party, which is still used today. What he means by that, I don't know. Okay. Some students have written to me, and some of the students on the program have mentioned to me, like, oh, but there's no party to do with Umrah. Like that's not like a part of ibadah. But what he means by an ihtifal, I'm not 100% sure. It maybe just means a gathering or something. I don't really know. Okay. Fil khuruji ila al-umrah. In the leaving for umrah. Lam yaqsur an al-ihtifal al-awwal. It is no less, right? Lam yaqsur. It doesn't deplete from or in comparison to al-ihtifal al-awwal. So he's previously talked about a couple of other ihtifalat, and this is no smaller than them. Good. Fan jafala al jami'. So the jami' in sarafu is what it means. He actually puts here in brackets in sarafu. In sarafu they departed. All of them they departed. Ilayha tilka layla. They went out to do it on tilka on that night. Good. Who rijalan wa nisa'an. I mentioned that before, right? That is something that Ibn Jubayr comments often, right? Like that's not just something in this text. That's something in the original rihla that Ibn Jubayr would say a lot. In terms of men and women, رِجَالًا وَنِسَاءً عَلَى الصِّفَاتِ وَالْهَيْئَاتِ الْمُتَقَدِّمَةِ الْمُتَقَدِّمَةِ Yeah, it is مُتَقَدِّمَةِ Good, so صِفَات are the descriptions or the attributes. وَالْهَيْئَاتِ الْمُتَقَدِّمَةِ Yeah, like the groups that were mentioned before is what he's saying. Yeah, but mutaqaddima, it means like coming forward. It's different from mutaqaddama, right? Mutaqaddama is like presented, right? But mutaqaddima, it does mean something different. It's actually the word for like a donor, is what I think, like when you donate organs. It's to do with, it's saying they're generous, right? The groups that went out were generous groups. فَكَانَتْ مَعَ صَبِيحَتِهَا عَجَبًا فِي الْإِحْتِلَالِ وَحُسْنِ الْمَنْظَرِ Good, and there was with their mourning, there was with their mourning, عَجَبًا, amazement. فِي الْإِحْتِفَالِ in the celebrations. Let's just say celebrations, right? Celebrations has a connotation of certain things to us these days, but let's not project that onto 10th century Ibn Jubayr. وَحُسْنُ الْمَنْظَرِ And the greatness of the viewing. Ibn Jubayr says things like this, loads in his rihla. He says things like, he uses the term like mushahada and stuff, like a great viewing and things like that, of certain things that he witnesses. He really presents himself as like a fly on the wall in these situations. A lot of the descriptions of the things in the Rihla of Ibn Jubayr are things that he's nothing to do with. He's just the fly on the wall describing what he's describing the spectacle in front of him. Good. وهذه العمرة يسمونها عمرة الأكمة وهذه العمرة and this عمرة okay not any old عمرة this عمرة يسمونها the verb سمى is a form two verb سمى يسمي the مصدر must be تسمية the name it means to name something just like it comes from the root ism right the word ism meaning a name سمى it means to name something it's used in the Quran many times as well with إلى أجل مسمى with مسمى in this case means like a specified and literally a named time إلى أجل مسمى it's used in the Quran many times but it really its real literal meaning is to name something يسمونها It's a nice word to add to your vocabulary for conversational Arabic, I think, as well. Like, like in Arabic, the real foundations of learning to speak Arabic well is saying things like, كيف أقول, how do I say this, or ما هذا, what is this, and being able to say these things. And I think the verb سمى, you know, ماذا تسمي هذا, like, what do you call this? I think that's just a little bit higher in terms of your fluency. I was thinking about the other day. Here in Somalia, my neighbours who live upstairs, they're from Yemen, and I wanted to borrow a drill from them the other day. And I don't know the word drill in Arabic. Like, there must be an actual fusha word for drill that the Arabic language league have like specified, right? There must be. But they didn't even know. I said, ماذا تسمي هذا? When I was talking to them about it, they said, drill. They said drill, which I'll start using drill because before that I was like, أنا أريد أن أستخدم البرب. I was saying البرب and they were laughing at me. So I'll use drill anyway, I'll take it. Anyway, هذه العمرة يسمونها. They called her. يسمونة, the أونا is in the plural. They call her, her, referring to عمرة as a her because عمرة is a feminine word. عمرة الأكمة They named it عمرة with a fatha on the end because it's the مفعول به of the verb يسمونة The عمرة of الأكمة The عمرة of the الأكمة the mound as we said earlier لأنهم يحرمون فيها Because they يحرمون We've talked about this verb أحرم It means to be in a state of purity be in a state of إحرام right Ihram is actually the masdar, right, of the verb ahrama, just like Islam is the masdar of aslama. Aslama, Islam. Ahrama, ihram. To be in a state of ihram, right, which you need to be in to make umrah. Very nice. I think we've mentioned in the past, like, the verb ahrama can also mean to, like, to banish. Like, if you banish people from the city or something. anyway. So, because they become in a state of umrah in it from a akama, from a mound, and Kamal Kilani puts in brackets tell meaning a hill. Amama Masjid Aisha, in front of Masjid Aisha. There is a famous Masjid Aisha in Mecca. There still is. Like if you look on the map, I believe it's the sort of the north northeast of Mecca. Of the Kaaba, I mean, it's in Mecca. It's in what we would call Mecca as the city, but Masjid Aisha. So if you look on Google Maps, I'll try to put a picture of it up. If you look at Masjid Aisha, outside of it, there is an akama, like there is an area that doesn't have houses built on it. I couldn't find a street view of it, and I haven't visited this masjid, so I can't verify it, right? But there's an area that hasn't had anything built on it. And from the pictures that people have taken around it, it looks like there is still a mound till today. So that might well be what he's talking about. Good. Okay, so in front of Masjid Aisha, radiallahu anha, may Allah be pleased with her. Ala masafatin qaribatin. So, yeah, on a close distance. A masafa means like a distance. Good. Wa aslu fi hadhihi al-umrat al-akamiyya. And the origin in this moundish umrah. That's my crude translation. عندهم, to them. أن عبد الله ابن الزبير. So that عبد الله ابن الزبير. عبد الله ابن الزبير was a leader in Mecca. I believe he's like, I don't know, is he late? Maybe he's late Asr Umawi, maybe. He's late like Umayyad period. Maybe. But anyway, he's a leader in Mecca, and that he did this thing. لَمَّا فَرَغَ مِنْ بِنَاءِ الْكَعْبَةِ الْمُقَدَّسَةِ And when he was finished, فَرَغَ أو فَرِغَ I think it's فَرِغَ, actually. I don't know if this is a typo or it can be both. Because we actually, yeah, in the Arabic in 60 Steps program, one of the texts that we read, it begins with لَمَّا فَرِغَ الْمُسْلِمُونَ مِنَ الْقِتَالِ, when the Muslims kind of, for American audience, got done with it. In British English, we don't really say someone got done with something, but I think Americans say that. So فَرِغَ means, or فَرَغَ means to get done with something. So let's use that, despite me not wanting to, not me wanting to concede to our brothers and sisters over the pond. Anyway, so when he got done with the Bina al-Kaaba, with the building of the sacred Kaaba, Muqaddas is a term meaning sacred, Muqaddas. Yes, Muqaddas, the sacred Kaaba. So perhaps the Kaaba was destroyed, or part of it was destroyed, or whatever. This has happened a few times throughout Muslim history. There have been, like, attacks on the Kaaba. There have been, like, whatever. Things have happened. There have been times when they've, like, tried to extend the shape of the Kaaba into a certain part to make it like a rectangle, and then it was destroyed, and the form that it's in now is the way that has been the most preserved, right? So they left it like that, because I think there was difference of opinion as to whether whether it extends slightly further or whether it doesn't. Anyway, but they took it as a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it kept on being destroyed. Good. Okay, kharaja, he went out. So after he had finished the building of the sacred Kaaba, he went out mashiyan, walking, hafiyan. Hafiyan, perhaps would say humble, maybe. There's other words for humble. Being mutawadir is another one, to be humble. But let's just say humble for now, rather than going into all the nuances. So he went out walking, hafiyan, mashiyan, walking, mu'tamiran, in a state of umrah, right? As in with the intention of making umrah. Yeah, there is a form A verb, i'tamara. Yeah, I'm sure it does mean that. I'm sure it means to go out in the with the intention for umrah. Wa ahlu makkata ma'ahu, and the people of Mecca with him. Fantaha ila tilka al-akama, and they finished going out at this akama. Okay, so they left the city with the intention to come back and do umrah, and they went out to this akama, to this mound. Okay, so that's the passage. Let me just read one full run through of the next few lines, inshallah, then we'll talk about the Arabic word for word. Fa ahrama minha wa kana dhalika fi yawm al-27 min Rajab wa ja'ala tariqahu ala thaniyat al-hajuni al-mufdiyati ila al-ma'la حيث دخل المسلمون يوم الفتح مكة فبقيت تلك العمرة سنة عند أهلها في ذلك اليوم بعينها وعلى تلك الأكمة بعينها. Very nice. So فأحرم منها. So he came in a state of ihram from it. Okay. So we heard him say that that he was mu'tamiran. He was going out with a state of umrah. But we're not saying that he was in a state of ihram when he was leaving the city, when he was leaving the haram, right? We're not saying that. We're saying that he was going out with the intention of umrah. But then when he got there, he fa'ahrama minha. He made ihram from that mound, right? Which is kind of interesting, actually. Like, when we go to do umrah, you come to a certain miqat, and then that's when you have to go into a state of ihram. Even when you're flying over it, actually. I think when you fly to make umrah, you have to put on your ihram before you even land, right, in Jeddah. Because you reach certain places, I believe. And there's certain places that you have to make ihram for. Or make ihram from those places, rather. Okay, but I'd always wondered about, what about people who live in Mecca? Like, when do they make ihram? Is it from their house, or do they have to go out to a place and then come back, or whatever? But anyway, we have an account here from Ibn Jubayr of what these people did. So he made ihram. He entered into a state of ihram when he went to this mound, which is Amama Masjid Aisha, which is in front of the Masjid Aisha. Good. وَكَانَ ذَلِكَ فِي يَوْمِ السَّابِعَ وَالْعِشْرُونَ. Okay, good. So this was on the 27th day. Okay, so his description of the people doing this thing is the same as what happened when Abdullah ibn Zubayr did it as well. It's the same day, right? It was on the 27th of Rajab. So yeah, so when Abdullah ibn Zubayr did it, it was the 27th of Rajab, which is why the people of his day also do it, right? Good. وَجَعَلَ طَرِيقَهُ عَلَى ثَنِيَّةِ الْحَجُونَ. Okay. And they made, جَعَلَ means to make, طَرِيقَهُ, and he made his path عَلَى ثَنِيَّةِ الْحَجُونَ, Okay, so thaniya is a word you might have heard before in that nasheed طلع البدر علينا, right? About the it's that nasheed which is reported the people of Medina they recited this nasheed on the arrival of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after his hijrah from Mecca to Medina, but it's al-Badr is what the nasheed's known as, and part of that nasheed they say min thaniyat al-wada, right? Al-wada min thaniyat al-wada. I'm not sure what the word on the end is, but thaniya means a valley, right? So where are we? Let me get to it. So he made his path via the valley of al-Hajun. There is an area called al-Hajun. Very close, like if you were to go around the north, if you were to head west from Masjid Aisha, where this supposed Ekema is in front of, you would go to a district called Al-Hujun now, though, rather than Hajun. Perhaps Ibn Jubayr has made a mistake, or perhaps it's been renamed, or perhaps over time people have pronounced it differently and it's turned to a different name. But I believe it is anyway. If I can find it on Google Maps, I'll put it up on the screen as well so you can see it for yourselves. Good, okay, so they made that direction, the valley of Al-Hajun, the direction that they went in. Ila Al-Ma'la. So, I think there's actually a cemetery called Al-Ma'latu, or Ma'latun. It might actually be in between. It might be in between Al-Hajun and Masjid Aisha. There's like a... I've looked at it on Google Maps, I think, but it's not spelled like that though. It's not spelled with an alif maqsura. That might be another name that's changed over time, maybe, but it seems like he's referring to that though. The geography makes sense for him to be referring to that. Anyway. حيث دخل المسلمون يوم فتح. Okay, so حيث. What does حيث mean? حيث is like, it really kind of means like when. حيث, but it's like when a thing happened, or in this case, how a thing happened. So let's translate it as the way, right? The way دخل المسلمون, the way that the Muslims entered, يوم فتح, the day of the conquest, the فتح, the opening of Mecca. Okay, so that's really interesting. So what this is reporting is that when the Muslims came to conquer Mecca on the day of فتح Mecca. The Muslims actually approached Mecca from this direction. They actually approached through Al-Ma'la and went through the valley of Al-Hajun on the way into Mecca, right? So that's why Abdullah ibn Zubayr, he went and he made Umrah in that same way, right? And that's why the people of Mecca in this time, they made Umrah in that way. I don't know if it's a tradition that the people of Mecca still uphold. I don't know, but he's saying that that's the route into making Umrah that the Muslims did on the day of Fath Mecca. It's the route that to kind of commemorate that or to celebrate that is what Abdullah ibn Zubayr did, and it's what the people of Mecca were doing at the time, also of Ibn Jubayr. Very interesting. فَبَقِيَتْ تِلْكَ الْعُمْرَةُ. So that Umrah remained. That type of Umrah remained. Just to be clear, I don't think Ibn Jubayr is saying that this is a legislated different type of Umrah. It's something almost tokenistic that the people are doing as a historical memory of an event that happened before. That they kind of want to walk in their footsteps, right? Okay. Where are we? Okay, so فَبَقِيَتْ تِلْكَ الْعُمْرَةُ سُنَّةً. So that Umrah remained as a sunnah عند أهلها, to its people. It as in Mecca. أهلها in the feminine, because Mecca is a feminine word. Again, I don't think Ibn Jubayr is making the argument that doing Umrah in this particular way is mustahab. I don't think Ibn Jubayr is issuing a fatwa here saying that we can rule this type of Umrah as doing that particular thing as mustahab, saying it's a sunnah in that sense, right? Perhaps he's saying it's a tradition, it's just a thing that they did. It's an example that they did. في ذلك اليوم بعينه. بعينه literally is like by its eye, but it means in particular. On that day in particular, and from that mound in particular. Okay, that's what he's saying. So let me do one more run through. I'll read through it one more time so you can listen and see how much of it you've understood. And hopefully it's a large percentage of it, inshallah. So, Umratul Akama. وفي ليلة الثلاثاء السابع والعشرون منه أعني من رجب ظهر لأهل مكة أيضا احتفال عظيم في الخروج إلى العمرة لم يقصر عن الاحتفال الأول فانجفل الجميع انصرفوا إليها تلك الليلة رجالا ونساء على الصفات والهيئات المتقدمة الذكر فكانت مع صبيحتها عجبا في الاحتلال وحسن المنظر وهذه العمرة يسمونها عمرة الأكمة لأنهم يحرمون فيها من أكمة أو تل أمام مسجد عائشة رضي الله عنها على مسافة قريبة والأصل في هذه العمرة الأكمية عندهم أن عبد الله بن زبير لما فرغ من بناء الكعبة المقدسة خرج ماشيا حافيا معتمرا وأهل مكة معه فانتهى إلى تلك الأكمة فأحرم منها وكان ذلك في يوم السابع والعشرون من رجب وجعل طريقه على ثنية الحجون المفضية إلى المعلى حيث دخل المسلمون يوم فتح مكة بقيت تلك العمرة سنة عند أهلها في ذلك اليوم بعينه وعلى تلك الأكمة بعينها. Thanks very much for listening. See you guys in the next episode. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.